You're listening to Creation Matters, and I'm your host, Mike Riddle, on Seattle Christian Talk at KGNW AM 820. And the topic today is the origin of life. Are you concerned about what your children are being taught? Are you concerned that your children that you go to church with every week are being taught that what they're learning in church is not true? And are you concerned that they only listen to the truth about an hour to two a week, and they get over 15 to, or maybe even 20 hours, that those 2 hours what they're taught is not true? Are you really concerned about that? And if you are, give us a call at 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800, or toll-free 800-955-8200. And we talked about when just before the break that we were going to discuss the other alternative that the evolutionists talk about is maybe life didn't start on this so-called primordial soup on the land somewhere, because they have a sincere problem there called oxygen. Because we discovered that if there is oxygen, life cannot start. And guess what? If there's no oxygen, life cannot start. Isn't that good news that there has to be a creator God? But because of that, because evolution has got caught in their own trap in the primordial soup, they now are teaching, and I saw this on PBS about a year ago, that life started way down deep in the oceans. So far down deep in the oceans that those ultraviolet rays could not penetrate. Down in the bottom of the oceans where we have all these hot thermal springs to generate the action to drive the chemicals so that the chemicals could form a living cell. Is that true? Well, here's something they're not teaching in the textbooks. Water, while it is necessary for life, has a problem with it on the origin of life. You see, water has a process we call hydrolysis. See, hydrolysis is the action of water decomposing molecules, specifically the molecules necessary to create the building blocks of life. They just leave that little tidbit out of the textbooks. How does that make you feel that they're deliberately leaving information out of textbooks to protect evolution? That sounds like a little deception to me. See, what I advocate is, and what a lot of creationists advocate is, we don't want creation taught in the science classrooms in public schools, because we'd have a lot of people out there teaching the Bible that don't understand the Bible. But what we do want, and you know the law of the land was signed by Congress and the President, the law says we should be and are allowed to teach all the scientific evidence about any possible theory. But our textbook writers seemed not willing to do that. And there appears to be some organizations in this country not willing to do that. In other words, they are fighting against teaching science. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine we have educators in our universities today trying to train teachers not to teach science? Now, what do you think about that one? And we talked about that problem with water. Let me read you a quote here. Now, this quote, and I'm going to let you know that it's not just creationists saying this about water. Let me read you a quote. This quote comes from a gentleman by the name of John Joe McFadden. He's professor of molecular biology and quantum physics. And he wrote a book called Quantum Evolution, recent book. And he makes it very clear he believes in evolution. So he doesn't believe in creation at all, but he believes in evolution. And he knows from all his own research that life cannot start in water. Because here's what he has to say. The problem here is the very stuff of life itself, water. And he says, biologically, polymers, those are those things where we got a lot of little molecules put together to make something bigger called a polymer, tend to spontaneously come apart in water. In other words, they just fall apart, fall to pieces in water. Even the scientists, the evolutionists know this. Now, here's another gentleman called Michael Behe. He wrote a great book called Darwin's Black Box. And he's got his PhD in molecular biology. So he understands this process. Listen to what he has to say. The presence of water strongly inhibits acids from forming proteins. Acids meaning amino acids, the building blocks of life. Now, isn't that incredible? The scientists know full well life cannot start in water, but yet, in our textbooks, they're being taught life could start in water. We even saw it on national TV on PBS about a year ago that life could start in water when that's impossible. Did you know one of the worst places in the entire universe for life to start is in water? Do you know, since life, we know from observable science that life can't start on land and it can't start in water, you know there's no place left. There's no place left. And wait a minute, we have an answer. There's another answer coming up. We came from Mars. Now, that's going to be another topic, but hold on just a moment. If life can't start here, why in the world would you think it can start on Mars? Well, you know why? Because we're trying to get to Mars. We're trying to send all these probes up to Mars. You know what we're going up there for? To find life. We're going up there to find life. And you know what they think they can find life up there? Because they believe, notice that word, they believe there was water on Mars. Now, that's an example of wrong teaching. People are starting to think there could have been life on Mars because we think we found water. Well, first of all, we have not found any water on Mars, folks. I want to let you know that right away. It's a lot of people making statements like that. We have not found any water on Mars. And if there was water on Mars, you know what? Life could not start in it. Because water, again, is one of the worst places in the universe for life to begin. Now, how do you feel about your children being taught wrong science and then having to take a test and give the wrong answers to pass the test? Isn't that incredible what we're doing in our education system? We're training our students to give wrong information so that they can pass tests today. That's incredible. Folks, we need to get back to teaching good science, good honest science, train our teachers in the universities on all the scientific evidence, and let children do critical thinking. But you know, there's a lot of organizations and university professors that don't want your children to do critical thinking. They want to tell your children what to believe. Now, if you have an issue with that, give us a call at 206-374-8800 or toll free 800-955-8200. And if you'd like to get some more information on this topic, you can go to our website called creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And on there, you can click on the little icon there on the KGNW 820 radio, and you can find out more information. We have links there to other articles on the web that talk about just what we're talking about here today, the origin of life. And you know also, we have a book out, a complete training course on just this. You can get that off our website. And what we've done is we're going to make this an incredible price. This product normally goes for $60, but for the next 2 months, we're going to make it available at $19. And what this is, it's an entire origin of life equipping course. If you want your children to be trained on the truth, you can get this entire equipping course. It comes complete with 3 hours of video teaching. You get a teacher's manual and a student manual. It discusses all the information, trains you and equips you on how to ask the right questions, how to do critical thinking, gives you all the background information. And if your children, your Christian children, are going to public schools, it even gives you all the quotes by scientists and helps you write reports that will meet the teacher's requirements by using just science. And you know what? You'll be able to refute evolution. Because who created all the science, folks? God did. That means the science will and always does support the Bible. Or if you'd like to give us a call at our creation ministry here, which is called Christian Training Development Services, you can give us a call at 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. And you can order that Origin of Life Equipping Course for $19. We're so interested in making sure our next generation gets trained on real science, which supports the Bible, that we're going to give it away for $19. So give us a call at 425-269-3196 to order that. Or if you would like to discuss this issue, give us a call here at the radio station, 206-374-8800. And we want to hear from you is, are you concerned about your children having to give wrong answers on tests and then having the teacher grade it correct? What is happening in our education system today? Have we got things all backwards? Are we trying to protect something here? Are we trying to protect somebody's belief in a religion called evolution? Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about a very famous experiment that was done in the 1950s called the Miller Experiment. That experiment is still in textbooks today, and I want to talk about what really happened there when we come back. You're listening to Creation Matters, and I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and this is the talk show where we teach and talk about creation and evolution. In just a minute, we're going to go to Jason in Seattle, but we have a few open lines if you'd like to discuss your opinions about the origin of life, which is our topic today. You can call 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800, or you can call our toll-free number at 800-955-8200. Jason, you're on the air. What do you have to say?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you're out here doing some teaching because I don't believe a lot of the public schools are teaching the truth. I have two children, and I recently pulled them out of the Seattle school districts, and I am homeschooling them now, too, so they have a better creation-based.
Well, God bless you for homeschooling, because I am a strong advocate of homeschooling. Matter of fact, I get to teach at many of the state homeschooling conventions around the country.
Uh-huh. That's good. I just want to let everyone know, when I remember when I was in first grade and when they told me that the Earth was millions of years old in first grade, and the church I went to in Sunday school was, you know, it was like about 6,000 years is what they used to teach. So, I mean, there was a big... And so I remember having problems with it then, but there wasn't anyone to really tell, you know, and so it was just a big difference. And so to any of the parents out there that have kids, I mean, your kids are learning stuff that isn't biblical. I mean, that's just the truth.
Very good, Jason, and I thank you for that, because at homeschooling we can get the truth, and, you know, one of the things we're trying to help promote is help churches on how to teach about creation. Given the background information, we're writing new courses, new education materials on what to teach, how to teach, and make it very sound biblical teaching. So that's one of the things we're trying to do here on the radio station here. Well, in just a moment, well, let's go to John in Bellevue. Your comments on creation, evolution, and the origin of life.
This is John in Bellevue, and I'm a mathematician and trained in aerospace, I worked at Boeing for 30 years, and I'm concerned at the fact that all these Mars comments never bother the fact that liquid water is absolutely impossible on Mars because of what's called a triple point of water. So the atmospheric pressure is much too low, and liquid water could not exist on Mars unless the pressure of the air was about 10 times greater. So it's just a simple deception, like you said, with the origin of life on Earth. It's also on Mars. They're deceiving them by making people think there could be liquid on Mars and Mars. And physics tells you it's impossible. Water will go from ice to gaseous forms without ever passing through liquid form.
Well, thank you, John. Now you've heard from a mathematician with experience in aerospace, and he's worked in this field, I guess, for quite a long time and understands very well that life cannot start in water. Thank you very much, John.
Okay.
Well, let's go with another caller. Ross from Bothell, you're on the line. Origin of life.
Yes, you were talking about assumptions being made about the early atmosphere on the Earth being based on a need for there being no oxygen. And this is simply false. The early experiments on, like the Uri Miller experiment, the elements used were based upon what we see around us in the solar system. There was no attempt to avoid oxygen. That's one reason for that. Another one is that in the early oceans, there was iron dissolved into the oceans. That would have removed any oxygen from the ocean. And in fact, about 2.5 billion years ago, we see hematite starting to be deposited in the oceans. That's because that's the earliest time that we see oxygen actually showing up as a result of photosynthesis.
Well, Ross, actually, when I go back and look at the data, if you take the oxygen out of the water, we don't have much on water because water is made out of H2O, and we know that life can't start in water. And the scientists know that very well because the oxygen in the water inserts itself right in the middle of those amino acid bonds and just pulls them right apart. So the idea that life could start in water is an impossibility.
The thing that you're looking at is molecular oxygen in the atmosphere. That's what they're talking about when they talk about oxygen. Certainly oxygen is present, but it's present in water.
It's present in water, but that oxygen atom in the water will actually cause the amino acid bonds to come apart. And that's a well-known observational fact. Now, any oxygen in the atmosphere, and they're starting to find out there had to be a lot much more freestanding oxygen in the atmosphere than otherwise expected.
No, there wasn't. Otherwise, we would have seen the hematite in the layers that were deposited as a result of it being combined with iron in the oceans.
But we do find many signs of oxidation in the rocks. Let me read. Laboratory experiments now show that chemical evolution, as accounted for by present models, would be largely inhibited by oxygen. Those are from the evolutionists themselves.
Who was that?
Those are from evolutionists. And here's one from... let me get you that name again. That's from... S. Fox, Sidney Fox, and Klaus Dose, both evolutionists and molecular biologists, in their book, Molecular Evolution and the Origin of Life. Here they're saying they have a problem. And then we can go back to, again, those studies from the Bulletin, the Meteorological Society, which say up to 1 million times greater the oxygen was in the atmosphere than otherwise anticipated. So we have quite a few people. Then there's Thaxton, who has a Ph.D. in chemistry, Bradley, a Ph.D. in material science, and Olson, a Ph.D. in geochemistry. They're saying the only trend in the recent literature is the suggestion of far more oxygen in the early atmosphere than anyone imagined. Now, are all these scientists wrong?
Possibly. Possibly they don't know what they're talking about. Possibly it's not their field of expertise. Mm. Possibly you've been very selective in who you've been quoting as far as scientists. I mean, I have no idea who these people are, what their field of expertise is, or what their data is.
Well, I would suggest we go out and do a little study then, because there's quite a few scientists today saying that oxygen was present. When we find signs of oxidation in these rocks that, according to evolutionists, 3.5 billion years old, that shows a pretty clear sign that there was oxygen.
It depends on how much there is. If it was only a very small amount, then there would be a small amount of oxidation. The information I have shows that it was 2.5 billion years ago that we first saw significant signs of hematite being deposited, and that was as a result of iron in the oceans taking out oxygen in the atmosphere.
Well, if you got oxygen not appearing until just a couple million years ago, that presents a big problem for life billions of years ago, doesn't it? Because doesn't the cell require oxygen?
Current cells do, but the earliest cells would have not have used oxygen.
Now, how do you know that? Now, Ross, how do you know that? Were you there?
I wasn't there.
Now, how do you know the earliest cells were different than cells today? Is there any evidence of that?
Because evidence we see today shows that that was the case. I don't necessarily have to be there.
Can you produce that evidence?
What's that?
Can you produce that evidence? Nobody at NASA could.
Well, they may simply thought you're crazy.
I'm crazy. No, I wouldn't say that. You're saying all the NASA scientists are crazy, too?
No, those NASA scientists may very well have just looked at you and they let you go on your way and believe what you wanted, and it wasn't...
Were you there? You weren't there, Ross. I was. You
I
know,
wasn't there. No,
I opened it
I
up to
there.
A question-answer session.
Fine,
at both
yeah.
times I talked to NASA, and I've talked at major universities, Ross, and, you know, no one on this planet can figure out how life started, and if you can, you've got to apply for the Nobel Prize because you're going to be the winner.
Well, hold on. How do you figure out how life started? We're talking about abiogenesis here. How do you figure that out?
It's impossible. That's how you figure it out. Let me tell you some more.
Well, wait a minute. How do you figure it out? You're saying nobody can figure it out, but how do you figure it out?
Well, one, you have to, if you're going to simulate evolution, what you have to do is you can put the chemicals together, what you believe were there, but then you have to let it run its course, because once you try and monkey around with it, you've introduced intelligence. And that's what all the experiments we do today, we put intelligence into there, and we have a problem, and we say that that must be evolution when it really took intelligent design. I want to talk about something more here, Ross, because I want to talk about the Miller experiment. Are you familiar with the Miller experiment?
Sure, the Urey-Miller experiment. That
yes.
was what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
You know, that's still in the textbooks today. You know, Miller
sure.
used gases like methane and ammonia. He did leave basically oxygen out because he knew oxygen was corrosive to the bonding of amino acids.
No, he left it out because what we see in the solar system around us is the elements that are available. Oxygen isn't one of the ones that's highly available.
Actually, he left it out because of the Oprin experiments, a Russian atheist who concluded that the early atmosphere had to be methane and ammonia. You have to go back and read the actual experiments there. But let's talk about this Miller experiment in the early 1950s. Now, he didn't set out to create life, because that's not what his objective was, even though some newspapers at the time reported that. What he wanted to do was create the building blocks of life amino acids. So he built this spark chamber in there, and he tried to simulate the atmosphere billions of years ago by putting methane and ammonia in there. We know that was the wrong ingredients, because we'd have find those in the clays and the oceans, and we don't find them at all in any abundance, so we know that's not true. Even the scientists know that, so they're trying to use different chemicals now.
Well, we find that in the solar system around us. That's why he used those. Those are the elements that would have been available at the time that the Earth was formed. We don't see it now, but then the early Earth isn't the same as it is now.
Sounds like you're doing a lot of conjecture there, but what we see today is all we have to go on, and then we can interpret what we see in the rocks.
In the solar system, right?
Solar system. Well, that's a whole other issue. We're going to talk about astronomy in another issue here, but we have a whole problem with evolutionists have a major problem with the solar system.
We're talking about the elements that were available on the early Earth, and that's what we see in the solar system around us.
But aren't you making an assumption that evolution was true first? Let's start with just science. Why don't we start with just observable science and then go from there? And what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. Is okay if we take a break here, Ross?
Sure.
Can we need to take a break? Then I want to come back and talk about this Miller experiment. And if you need to call us and you want to talk some more about this, give us a call at 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800 or toll-free 800-955-8200. We're going to talk about that Miller experiment and what really happened versus what we hear in our textbooks. You're listening to Creation Matters, and I'm Mike Real, your host, and we were just recently talking with Ross, and Ross, I must apologize, we've clicked the wrong button here and cut you off. If you could call back, we'd like to continue the discussion on water, the Miller experiment, and the origin of life. And I'll start right here with Ross was a previous caller, and I think he said that the scientists I read off, who were mainly evolutionists, were wrong, and that NASA wasn't right either. So we have to take a look at that. And just for your interest, next week, we're going to be talking about dinosaurs and the Bible. When did dinosaurs live? Were they on the ark? Or did they die out 65 million years ago? What is the scientific evidence, and what does the Bible have to say about dinosaurs? And then on November 2nd, after all of you, notice I said all of you have gone out and voted, and that's a command, you will vote, we're going to have Ken Ham on live, and you can talk to Ken Ham personally from Answers in Genesis Ministry. He'll be live on the show, and you can ask him any question you want. So next week is dinosaurs. Then we have Ken Ham live on KGNW Christian Talk Radio. And this is Hope Now Live and Creation Matters, and we're talking about creation evolution and the origin of life. And again, we talked about a resource that's available to you. If you would like to go out to our personal website, creationmatters.org, creationmatters.org, you can find more topics about today. We have links right there to papers on the web that you can download yourself. And we also have that resource, incredible price resource, called the Origin of Life Equipping Course. For $19, just $19, you get 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual, and a teacher guide. What a wonderful Christmas gift, even a Thanksgiving gift, or even a gift to your children. If they're going to public schools, folks, we need to make sure they get the correct science. And the science can be gotten in that course, or you can get it from creationmatters.org, and give us a call at 206-374-8800, 206-374-8800. Or you can call toll-free at 800-955-8200. Now, let's talk about that Miller experiment. And see, we'll see if Ross can call back. And again, we apologize there, Ross. But what about the Miller experiment? Well, in the 1950s, Miller set out to create the building blocks of life called amino acids. Now, what in the world are amino acids? Now, one of the things I'm not talking about are something called mean old acids that some people have. We're not talking about those mean old acids we might have, but amino acids. Where do they come from? Well, let's do a quick review of biology here. We have things called atoms, which are a basic unit of matter. Atoms can bond together to make molecules and polymers, and then they combine together to make amino acids. And then amino acids can bond together to make proteins for life. Now, something about these amino acids. When we read the Miller experiment in our textbooks, first of all, it says Miller used methane and ammonia and left oxygen out because he knew life couldn't start in oxygen, as we know well today. But we also know very well, as the molecular biologists do, that if there was no oxygen, life couldn't start either, because the ultraviolet rays will come down and fry all life. And we also discovered that we've known for a long time that life cannot start in water, because water decomposes molecules, because it has an oxygen atom in there. So those are all based on observable science, not opinions, not conjecture, not information we find in textbooks. Unfortunately, did you get that? It's information not found in textbooks. Too bad we're leaving the science out today. But the experiment goes on, and the textbooks go on to say Miller got amino acids, and they say, well, he got the building blocks of life. Well, there's something being left out of our textbooks, something major being left out. And this is what we really call deception. Because, you see, all amino acids in all proteins in all life forms are left-handed. See, our amino acids come in two shapes. We'd call them left-handed and right-handed amino acids. Just like we have a left and right hand, your left and right hand are about the same, except when you put one behind the other, you notice your thumb and fingers on the opposite side. So your left and right hand are what you call mirror images of each other. It's like looking in a mirror and they look identical. Well, these amino acids come in the same shape. We call them left-handed and right-handed amino acids. They're also mirror images. And it just so happens every amino acid, folks, you have trillions and trillions of these in your body. in every protein is left-handed. Isn't that amazing? But you know what Miller ended up with? A mixture, and they don't tell you this in the textbooks. He ended up with an even mixture of left and right-handed amino acids, which is detrimental. It's like a poison to life. They just leave that little piece out of the textbooks to deceive our students into believing Miller created building blocks of life. No, he didn't. He got the opposite. Every experiment we have ever done has always ended up with an even mixture of left and right-handed amino acids, again, which is detrimental, the opposite of life. Even on meteorites, we find left and right-handed amino acids. Nothing compared to life. Every experiment we do always ends up with left-handed experiments. Did you know we can run experiments today where we start with all left-handed amino acids? And you know what happens to them? They will naturally start reverting back to a mixture of left and right-handedness. Now, why do the textbooks leave this out? Why do they leave the science out of the textbooks? It's called deception by omission. We need to train our children. Are you concerned about what your children are being taught in these schools? You see, if you're ridiculed, I had a good friend tell me this one time by the name of Mike Gendron. He told me this one time. He's a great teacher on some of these subjects. And he said, you know, if I call you names, you'll know it. If I ridicule you, you'll know it. But if I deceive you, you may never know it. And you know, folks, our children are being deceived. And we don't have the information to know they're being deceived. That's why we want to get this information across. And real quick, Ross has called us back. Ross, thank you for calling back. We apologize for having you cut off there. We got about 2 minutes left here. Let's continue the discussion. We were just talking about the Miller experiment where he got left and right-handed amino acids. So even if your water problem works, even if your oxygen problem works or your no oxygen problem works, he got the wrong mixture of amino acids, and every experiment has always done that.
Well, why would that be a problem? If you've got the left-handed molecules present, current life uses just the left-handed. All that means is that the left-handed won over the right-handed. We could easily have ended up with all right-handed. It's just a matter of which one out.
No, Ross, you missed the point here. Life requires 100% left-handed amino acids in every protein, and the natural occurrence is always to bond left and right-handed, which is away from life. Every experiment shows that. So there's no scientists on this world that can figure out how we get all left-handed amino acids. It always goes the wrong direction.
Actually, all that says is that all we use right now is the left-handed ones. That doesn't mean that we had to have just left-handed presence.
Well, Ross, there you go in your speculation again. Let's get back to science. See, here's a problem with evolutionists. They cannot stick to the observable science. They have to go to speculation and religion. Ross, let's keep it to science here.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, you're speculating that one time it was different. No, everything we know, it was just the same way, Ross. And I think we're just about out of time here, Ross, but I do want to thank you for calling. And God bless you. And take a look at our website and creationmatters.org, and you'll find some more information out there. Or if you would like to order our material, the Origin of Life Equipping Course, you can go to creationmatters.org and or you could call us at 425-269-3196, 425-269-3196. And this is Mike Riddle from Creation Matters, and we want to hear from you. And next week, it's dinosaurs. God bless all of you. And in the beginning, God created. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic, or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.